Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine. And we continue with the series, What Saith the Scriptures? And we're looking in this podcast at the Epistle to the Galatians. There are three main divisions in Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. That which is mainly biographical and historical in chapters 1 and 2. That which is mainly doctrinal in chapters 3 and 4. And that which is mainly exhortive in chapters 5 and 6. There's an overlapping and intermingling of visions throughout the book, and all have a bearing on one another. The doctrinal section of the letter, of course, predominates as in the other epistles of Paul, and much of the biographical and historical material is used with an eye to the doctrinal issues involved, while the exhortations and practical implications flow out from the doctrine dealt with. The great doctrinal issue in the Epistle to the Galatians is really the issue of the Gospel. This can be seen through looking at the very first chapter of the Epistle and the number of references to the Gospel that are found there. The references are also widespread in the chapters that follow. What is noteworthy is the kind of reference to the Gospel that is made. So we read about another Gospel, any other Gospel, the truth of the Gospel that is not after man, and so forth. Clearly the issue is the issue of the Gospel, and the Gospel under attack. So we find the Lord's Apostle, as under the Holy Spirit of God, defining the one true Gospel of Jesus Christ, and defending that Gospel against its enemies. The attacks on the Gospel had come via that old plague sore of Judaism. At Galatia, there were people going around and saying that along with Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, a man or a woman must also take on many of the observances of the old Jewish law. This was being applied even to the Gentiles, and the upshot was that the truth of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, was being whittled away and devalued. It is against this notion that Paul levels his guns. Doctrinally, he shows the impossibility of a work salvation. Abraham was just a faith. Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by faith." All of that is contained in chapter 3, which concludes with the memorable words, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Even the biographical and historical references are made mainly with an eye to the issue at hand. Paul tells about going up what became known as the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, where the issue of the Gospel for the Gentiles had been thoroughly looked into. He tells about his 3 years spent in Arabia, where it has been rightly said he went up with the law and the prophets and the Psalms in his knapsack, and came down with Galatians, Ephesians and Romans. He dwells on his confrontation with Peter at Antioch, where he withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed, for giving virtual credence to that Gospel which was no Gospel. Each historical stepping stone is set down for one good reason or another. There ever was one means of Gospel justification from the first, faith in God's promised one. Any deviation from that is to be met with God's anathema. It is easy to see why Paul's Epistle to the Galatians so much endeared itself to the men of the Reformation. Martin Luther called it, "My Catherine, my wife. I am betrothed to that epistle," he told some of his friends. "It is my Catherine, my wife." From the hand of Luther, of course, came his great commentary on Galatians, which Bunyan in turn called the best book next to the Bible for a wounded conscience. B.B. Warfield summarizes Paul's whole case, which is without dispute. In Christ alone is there salvation. In Christ alone, and that in both senses of the word alone. Not only is there no salvation except in him, but in him is all that can be needed for salvation, Jesus only. To depend on aught else along with him is as truly to lose him as to depend on aught else instead of him. With that understanding of a free, unmerited salvation in Jesus only, and by Jesus only, the Lord's Epistle takes up the remaining parts of the letter by exhorting the believers in Christ to be free in order that they might be the bond slaves of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Wicket Gate magazine. I trust you found it of benefit. The Wicket Gate can be found at www.wicketgate.co.uk.